All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and get started here? I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening. Melissa, I'll turn it over to you. I know you'll go ahead and get started with tonight's agenda.
Okay, perfect. I just have a few reminders for everybody. First, documentation. If we're going to change the wound etiologies, we should be doing that in collaboration with our facilities. And remember, not all wounds on the feet are pressure. If a patient has diabetes, PVD, arterial, we can classify them as such. We've been getting recent feedback from facilities and operators that providers are changing arterial, diabetic, to pressure, especially on, on the feet and the legs. So just be very mindful of that. MIPS, we've officially moved to Quantition, our new MIPS platform. I will be probably within the next 30 days, I'll have MIPS compliance reports for them for all providers. And the last but not least is our Aprima update. So they finally released the new hot fix. Dina's going to be installing that in the PA database. So Dr. Karamadi and I can trial the form. And if everything is right, it'll be going live in all states. We'll roll it out state by state, but we are almost down the home stretch with this new form. That's all I have.
Want to introduce Jenna?
Yes. So, everybody, Jenna Maxwell, I know some of you have been communicating with her via email or telephone. She has joined us tonight. She is the clinical biologics person. Excuse me. You can reach out to her for any questions you may have regarding if a wound qualifies or if you have enough documentation. She can, excuse me, she can let you know exactly what you may be missing. If the wound's too small, she's a great wealth of knowledge, and she also has been doing additional training or setting people up with our various vendors for additional education. So please, Jenna, say hi to everybody. She's on. If you have any questions for her at this time, you're more than welcome to ask or reach out to her independently.
Hi, everybody. It's Jenna. Anybody got any questions?
Can you just describe what you're doing to make sure the process goes smoothly and with the assistance you're providing both, in advance and after? And it sounds
Yes. So essentially, what I'm doing is anyone who identifies any patients who they feel would be appropriate for biologics. I know you guys fill out the IVRs to send to Donna, but you can also send me names or both of us together at the same time. And I go through, she does all of the insurance side. And then on the clinical side, I look through the chart, make sure that all of the requirements are met as far as what the wound meets and needs to meet, as well as any documentation that you need to add for insurance purposes. After that, once it's been approved by the insurance itself and you guys are getting started on grafting it, I follow up weekly, just making sure that the wound is progressing well, that it's meeting the requirements still. If it's not progressing, I'm giving recommendation that you discontinue, things of that nature, and as well as following up as far as things that could be added or changed in the documentation itself for the grafting. So that's pretty much what I'm doing before and after as far as each graft goes, as well as reviewing the reorders to make sure that the square centimeters of graft are appropriate for the wound sizes that the wounds are when you guys are reordering.
Jenna also looks at if the wound is responding to the biologic applications. So you will hear from her. If it's not making, improvement, we won't be reordering things that no longer qualify.
Yeah, Jenna has to make sure on the approval process because we've had some, unfortunately, clawbacks where providers might have continued to utilize a biologic when the wound was already healing or pretty close to healed and continued applying. Medicare is coming after us to get a refund. So we want to make sure that that doesn't happen, and Jenna will be one of the main areas that we're going to, count on to make sure, main person to count on to make sure that we're carefully reviewing that so that that kind of situation doesn't come up. We don't want to order when it's not appropriate. We want to make sure we're fully compliant, that the documentation supports whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish. And hopefully then we'll be able to properly utilize, heal the patients, get positive outcomes, and then be able to bill and collect for it. So all inclusive. So Jenna has already done a great job in what she's been able to identify, and we're going to hopefully rely on her to continue that. And let me add one more thing. Bobby Nouri, who is w represents is actually one of the owners of one of the companies that we deal with an order from Stability, also happens to be a podiatrist and knows this stuff cold, and he's been providing some education to a number of providers. He's available, and you can coordinate that through Jenna as well to arrange if you need some additional understanding, education, guidance on when to order, when not to order, what's needed in the documentation, etc. Bobby can provide you with all of that information. He's happy to do so. He's found some interesting situations already in talking to some of the providers that people didn't understand some of the aspects of it. So, feel free to make use of that as a resource as well. And that's all I've got.
Hi, Dr. Lin. Just a really quick question for Ms. Maxwell.
Hello.
Hi. So, just to be clear about order of operations here, if I were to identify a wound that might be appropriate for biologics, do I send you the email with the name of the patient and measurements?
So you can do that. I'm not really sure. Melissa, maybe you can chime in too. I'm not sure how they want the best way to go about it is because Donna still does the IVR and all the insurance aspect. And what we've been doing is when people send us IVRs, I look at the clinical side. She starts the process on the insurance side. That way it's kind of tandem to make sure that we're not like holding off if not needed. But if you want to send me the name and the measurements, I go into the charts themselves once they've replicated over and read through the whole chart to make sure that it meets a lot of different requirements, even outside of size, making sure there's no underlying
That was my understanding.
structure, making sure there's no signs or symptoms of infection, different things like that. So if you send me like the name and birth date, I go into the chart and look at everything regardless. So the measurements are nice, but I'm looking at everything in the chart. So it's really up to you how you want to get that information to me. But if you want to send me the names and birth dates directly so I can look for them in the charts, that's fine. And then usually if they send it to me, if you guys send me just the name, I usually loop Donna in so she kind of knows what's going on the clinical side so that when she does get the IVR, she can kind of start that process as well.
Yeah,
So
so
just to
Dr.
be clear, yes, sir.
No, I
Go
was going to
on.
say, so Dr. Lynn, if there's really any clinical questions, then those should be directed to Jenna, and anything that's involving the IVR process needs to go through Donna.
The reason I wanted clarity on this is basically, I was wondering when to start the IVR process because my understanding is Ms. Maxwell is going to be helping us confirm who might be appropriate for biologics. So we would obviously flag who would be needing biologics on our patient base, But then, ultimately speaking, we would be consulting with Ms. Maxwell regarding how to move forward. Is that correct?
Move forward, meaning submitting an IVR or
That's correct.
yeah. So if you've deemed that the patient is clinically appropriate and you want to, run it by Jenna as well, that's fine. But ultimately, the IVR still needs to be submitted to Donna. So if there's any question about the appropriateness, of patient
Okay.
selection, or if you're in the middle of a treatment, if you're, having any questions about continuing treatment, those types of things, anything clinical is directed towards Jenna. Everything insurance related, and that stuff should be directed to Donna,
So if
including the
you wonderful.
reorders.
Yes, ma'am.
so if you want to put
Yes.
me and
I'm sorry.
Donna, if you want to put me and Donna both, if so let's say you identified someone that you think could potentially be a good option, if you want to include me and Donna on that email, with in that way she knows clinically that I'm saying, okay, yes, this patient clinically meets the requirements. He needs to add this documentation for insurance purposes. That way she knows what's going on. And from there, you would send the IVR to her because she's doing all of that stuff. Do you
Okay.
does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, just to reinforce that, Jenna is one of our nurses, and so she is attuned to what's in the record from a clinical standpoint and the information you're submitting. Donna is non-clinical. She's dealing with the payment and the getting things approved from an insurance standpoint.
Good to know.
Can I ask about the coverage just a little bit? Because I submitted, I think, seven applications for different patients. And, it was a good learning process for me, but they all pretty much did not, nobody really qualified from even an insurance perspective, notwithstanding medical issues. And so Jenna and I had emailed this about this a little bit, about me understanding is they're just like, regionally, do we just have here in Ohio like a lot of people on the Medicare Advantage? Or can you just talk about that a little bit? Because I definitely came up empty-handed.
So as far as that goes, again, Donna deals with all of that. And I know I included her on an email to you to kind of reach out with a list of insurances. I know Medicare Advantage does not typically cover, and then for Ohio, I want to say it's traditional Medicare and then Medicaid as well. But again, it all you have to do the IVR process to find all of that out because there's also the aspect of them being skilled versus not skilled versus long-term. Like there's a lot of different aspects, so it's hard for me to speak on that. And since Donna's kind of doing most of the insurance, I can reach out to her again. As far as maybe getting you a list of ones that definitely do not accept. That way you at least know moving forward, like who definitely like not to waste your time trying to get pushed through.
I think that would be great because I had a couple of tough wounds and I was really excited to try to use the therapy. And so it just helped me to not, just temper expectations a little bit. And I do think a lot of people have Medicare Advantage around here, unfortunately. So, anyways, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'll reach out to Donna again.
Dr. Duncan, one of the things that's happened in other states and is going to happen in Ohio is that you will now see a pop-up in a Prima
That will
that
help.
will kind of signal that a patient from at least an insurance standpoint should be eligible. That's still, in terms of the biologics. So it doesn't state anything about clinical appropriateness. It's just really a pop-up for insurance purposes. So that might help narrow down, but you can always still submit that IVR to Donna in case there's any question. But that pop-up will be going live in Ohio here this week as well.
That's awesome. That'll be really helpful.
And
So
just
just
so
so you know.
everybody knows, the pop-up is live in every other state, and that information will be refreshed every 30 days. So, look for that information. It'll pop up and tell you, for California, Medi-Cal and Medicare. So it'll give you the various options that are covered.
So just so everyone knows, just because we think we've hit all the criteria that we feel should make this clinically appropriate, et cetera, it's still Medicare's decision at the end of the day whether they're going to approve. That's the IVR process. And for whatever reason, sometimes they don't, even though it seems like everything lines up. And so there's really not that much, more to do once that occurs. Sometimes we can appeal it a little bit and, with additional documentation, but that's the final deciding point there. That's why we go through the IVR and we don't order anything until we do get that Medicare clearance. And that's what the IVR is all about. And then the Medicaid is very similar. There is something that has been happening in some states where Medicare Advantage is getting approved a little more frequently. I'm not saying it's going to be frequently. There is, however, something that we are investigating, that Stability has hired someone and they're going to make it you this person available even for non-Stability products. And this is a person who used to work for Medicare and knows how to deal with all the Medicare types of challenges. He knows specifically the CEOs of every Medicare company. And they have found that he's been very helpful in getting things approved on the Medicare Advantage side. There's an additional cost to using him every time, so we want to be able to think about that before. But that's something that could be rolled out. We're going to investigate that in the coming weeks. And if all goes well, this could be another tool, this person using this person and his process. But again, there'll be an additional charge to us, not to you, to make use of that. And we just have to weigh the cost benefit for that.
Any additional questions about any of that? All right. Well, along those lines, there is a bit of an update to mention about the biologics, specifically wounds that are extremity wounds. There are some states that are now requiring that ABIs be done on all extremity wounds that doesn't appear to affect the states that we are in so far, but that may be something that's changing soon. But as we've mentioned from the very beginning, we do need to make sure that these patients are medically optimized, and part of that documentation needs to include a vascular exam. It's important that you prove that the patient has sufficient perfusion to heal a wound, and how you document that in your vascular exam, is up to you. Whether that's palpable pulses, whether that's a Dopplerable exam, whether you want to do a bedside ABI on your own, that does need to be included in the documentation. And I know a lot of us are, reliant on ordering outside ABIs and things like that, but it is a very simple thing to do at bedside. If you don't have those services available at that facility, it is one of those things that can result in a clawback if it's not sufficiently documented. And especially in those instances where the diagnosis you may have used could be somewhat vague. Sometimes we don't always have the entire history of a lot of these wounds. The etiology may not be clear, and I know some people will use kind of a generic term of, chronic non-pressure wound or chronic non-pressure ulcer. Those types of, really nondescriptive diagnoses do need to have that vascular exam and that, that documentation even more so, because those are going to be, probably red flagged for more scrutiny and audit. So you got to make sure that those elements are included in the documentation. I know Melissa mentioned that we're closer to our Aprima updates, and part of that update will include getting a wound assessment form that will have a much more streamlined process for the biologics. But until all of that is in place, to remind you about the documentation, those elements do need to be put in your notes. Any questions about that? All right. Well, the last thing that I wanted to kind of go over, I've noticed this issue not only from a provider standpoint, but also from a facility standpoint in terms of defining what is and what is not slough. And a lot of times what I've noticed is that anything that's really yellowish or whitish yellowish in color is referred to slough. Well, that's not correct, and that's not accurate. I mean, certainly there's plenty of types of viable tissue that can have kind of a cream color, yellow color, appearance to it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's automatically slough. And I think this is problematic because it really changes how certain wounds are classified and staged. But remember that slough has to be necrotic tissue. If the tissue appears viable, if it appears, adherent, it bleeds, then those are typically signs that it is viable tissue and that it is not slough. Slough tends to be more of a slimy texture. It's not really as adherent to the overlying wound bed, and is frankly necrotic. So, just kind of want to reiterate some of the elements of slough versus other tissue. Fibrin, for example, is something that you can wipe away. Sometimes, if you're looking at a deeper level of dermis, it has that whitish hue. These things are not slough. And so I, again, want to try to make sure that everybody's documenting as accurately as possible, because I know a lot of times on the treatment side of things, things may be described as having slough. But I've seen plenty of wounds now where what's being described as slough is not. So just take some time to really look at the tissue, look at how it relates to the surrounding tissue, and determine really if it's slough or not. And that's really all I wanted to cover tonight. So I'll open the floor to any questions that anybody may have.